I want to make these 2 days, which are so close to Pesach, I want to make them into something which prepares ourselves to experience that whole reading of the Haggadah in a different way. And so I am not 100% confined that it has to be worked out, that every single lecture has to be what I thought beforehand. I'll be flexible with that. That means you have also a say to that, and you always, like always, you can say whatever you want, and you ask whatever you want, and we will be, we'll try to go according to the needs of the tzibur too. But the first two are more or less like, first we'll try to prepare ourselves to tell the story of the Haggadah, and then we'll read together this thing I brought with Haggadahs. We'll read together the thing that the next session. We'll read together the Haggadah and try to see in a living way, in an interesting way, what is that Haggadah telling us. And every single year when I read that, it tells me something else. Perhaps now it also, we'll see something else. Okay. So, but first, let's go step by step. The Rabban, in his preface to his explanation of the Torah, says that the word Torah is taken from that it shows the way, and it says Torah means Meire Anoshim Baderech. It shows the way. So what does it show the way? Meire Anoshim Baderech Beinyan Ha'emuna. Torah shows the way regarding your own faith, your own emuna. That means a person has to have a way in measure up with his emuna. Emuna is not something which is amorphous there, and that's it. You have emuna, you are a believer. Now you have to pass your way, you have to go to a way. So Torah tells that, and what is that part in the Torah? What is Torah? There are mitzvahs, there are mishpatim, there are things which you are told. So what it means, Torah? So the Ramban says, Torah are the stories which are told in Bereishis, in Bamidbar, in Shmois. It is stories which are told. With those stories, they show you the way in Emunah. So now, this is a very amazing thing. The Ramban tells us that when you want to build up Emunah, you have to have a story. Emunah is not built from some deep understanding from the Meir and the Vuchim. No. Emunah is not built from a deeper understanding from Derech Hashem or from some Hashkofes Fogel. No. Emunah is built from a story. You have to have a story. And our story is this Haggadah. Because that is what we are obligated. You call that in Chazal Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Man saper shmi b'chol oretz. You have to tell the story what happened in Egypt. You have to be mesaper b'ozne bincho. You have to tell the story in the ears of your son. So the Leila Seder is this time when you tell your story, your emune story, to your children. And then you create emune within your children. Our problem is that we do not know how to tell a story. And especially, we do not know how to tell a story from a given text. Because that is an obstacle by us. Once in a while, I feel that when we are religious people, and we do this, we read that story, we read that Haggadah. But the Haggadah is written in Hebrew. And even when we have explanations, those explanations, they shatter the story. It's like when you read Shakespeare with a footnote of the professor, you know? It takes away the impact of this whole thing. You know, when you go to the theater and you go to the stage, then you don't read it with the footnotes. You get impressed with that strong message when the trees coming to Macbeth, you know? And the trees begin to walk, then that's a story, you know. The trees walk to him, you know. And then he knows his days are numbered. You know, that's it, finished. So that is the story. But you don't go into interpretation, and that takes away from the story. And we are very much into that. When we read the Haggadah, we go into the details and we try to explain every single word, and it takes away the story. There's no story anymore. And then we miss the boat by Leila Seder, which this is the most precious time you have for yourself and you have for your own children, that this time is there, that you reach a stage in your personality that you say, you know what, there will be a redemption again. And I will run after it. I'll do it. That's what you have to reach, Leila Seder. This clarity that the whole thing will change. And Klal Yisrael will be a different nation. And there will be a revelation of the Borei Olam. For sure. It's clear. That has to come down in Leila Seder. And your children have to be part of that ode, of that experience. And you have to create the experience through a story. So now, this demands from us that we have to take a known fact, or a so-called known fact, and you turn it over into a story. Yeah? So the facts alone don't make the story. I think that's clear. The facts alone don't make the story. I was speaking with a person which he was... He very much was taken by that there are people which are very much into facts. They know, analyzing and knowing the facts and knowing where that text stems from, and this comes from this period, and that comes from that period, and we know the explanation here. But the facts alone don't make a story. And even the words alone don't make a story. The story is something else. What is a story? When you have the difference between reading a book and getting the story. I remember that myself. I gave that to Celine Seal, the way I gave it. And I remember myself when I was a young boy, and we were reading to in French, we were reading the tales of La Fontaine. You heard about once these, which he said all these Misholim from the fox with the cheese, you know, with the raven on the tree, and the fox comes and wants the cheese, and the raven opens the mouth, because he has such a nice voice. You remember that one? And he drops the cheese. So there was another one. That was one of them. Another one was that there was this green thing which makes music. How do you call that?
Cricket.
Yeah. Locust. Yeah, the locust which makes music. And he made music the whole summer. And then comes the winter, he had nothing to eat. So he goes to his good friend, the aunt, which that aunt has an enormous thing of food, you know, in the backyard, and he wants to have a loan, and the aunt asks him, what did you do in the summer, you know? And he said, In the summer I made music. So he says, oh, you made music in the summer? Please dance now. That is the tale. So I was a young boy, and I had a teacher, and she was a Swiss teacher, she was a lady, an older lady. And she was a Swiss teacher. Like the Swiss, they were a little bit retarded. She was also a little bit retarded. And I asked her who was right. Whether the locust was right in the eyes of La Fontaine or the aunt. So she says, for sure the aunt is right. So I told her, no. He wanted to speak in favor for the artist, you know. He thought that aunt is a nasty beast, you know. You have so much food, you can't eat it. You don't give a loan to the artist, which the whole summer enchanted people. You know, that was the message. So you see, she got the text, but she didn't get the message. She didn't get the story. Behind these words, there's a story. And I think she got that entirely wrong. Yeah, the story by her was a very bourgeois story, you know, very, very bourgeois, you call that. That's right. A very bourgeois story where now you say, you have to do your work and put away your money and then you'll be safe. That's a story. No, that's not the story of La Fontaine. The story is that these stingy people, they even don't give a loan to an artist because they don't appreciate art. That's the story. But you have to get that. That means there is a certain message underneath the words which is there. And that's the difference between telling a story and reading a text. When you read a text, you read the text and you know what's said. when they tell a story, that is that there is a message coming through. Yeah? So now, I think that's clear. Yeah? Now, when we are thinking about the story of the Haggadah, and you want to make from that a story that demands from us that we are clear what are the points of the message. Which message do we want to get across? Not which text we read. Gesundheit, you read the text. But there's a certain message I want to give across to my children. What is that message? What is it? Yeah? What is... That has to be worked out beforehand. There's a certain message there. So now I found out that there are three major ingredients in this message. Three major ones. And I want to speak about those three major ingredients. And then afterwards we'll together read the Haggadah and we see that that is, those are three ingredients which are essential for our understanding that the Haggadah tells a story. Otherwise we won't have that story. Look, I tell you the truth. It's vabonk, you call that. You make a roulette up. I make a roulette with you. It's a little bit painful. I make a roulette. Because always when we were sitting together all these years, I was speaking about things which were a priori known to you. We spoke about your midas. We spoke about your life challenges. We will speak about that. Don't be afraid. But I hold that we have to go one step further. And we have to see, you know what? We can have a concept in Torah too, which speaks to us. It's not only that we are speaking to ourselves, but we do it with the enhancement of Torah. That's what we did till now. That's right? We spoke about our midas, but then we have, Rabbi Saul speaks about the midas. Wow, that's very interesting. That's much more profound. We spoke about our own challenges in life, and we said, but you know what? The Rabbi Yoide speaks about these challenges. Very interesting. And now, I go one step further. And whenever you have difficulty with that, please tell me that. But I go one step further. I now begin and say, we speak now about the story of the Torah. Because you have no choice. Leila Seder, you do that. And it's an opportunity, your Leila Seder. It's an opportunity for yourself. It's an opportunity for your children. But you have to give over something from Torah. You can't give in the Leila Seder over that, you know, I also had my own miracle. That would be very shallow because we went out of Egypt. There's something more profound going on, Leila Seder, than your own life history. There was a nation history going on which is very relevant to us. And we have to make it relevant to us. So that's the challenge. So whenever... I think I play fair, you know. I want to play fair. I want to put the cards on the table. I don't want to make you feel that, you know, Leuchter is just taking off, you know. He's very nice, he has a nice helicopter, and we can look after him the way he is so excited about himself, and now he really takes off. That's very exciting, but I can't take off. Then I would miss the boat. I would feel very bad. I want together to see that there is something interesting going on in this story. Yeah? Okay? So there are three things. I name these three things, and we'll speak about them afterwards. I will only name the three things. The first thing is that there was a Klal Yisrael, a Jewish nation. When you are not aware that there's a Jewish nation, we can't get out of Egypt. When you only think about yourself, you can't do that. First. Second, there was an involvement of Hashem because of us. He entered the picture. You know what? He entered the picture. He came. He came into the picture. He wasn't standing behind. He didn't put the tires behind the scenery. No, he came into the picture and he revealed himself. That's the second. And the third is, he gives us a tafkit, how do you call it? A responsibility, a task, a responsibility in that whole thing. We are part of it. It's not that only we are a passive nation and he is the active, enter the picture. We are also active.
Those are the three. And a role to play.
A role to play, that's right. So those are the three ingredients. We are there, he's entering the picture, and there is a role to play for us. We are not passive. You are not sitting in the back and saying, no, no, okay, very nice. Let's see when you get me out of here. No, I have here, when you have more room, you have payers that you could take you out with your payers. By me, he has to take me by the ear or by the beard. You know, I don't know where it takes me. But you'll take me by the ear, I'll get out of here. No, you can't wait. He should take you by the ear. You have to be actively involved. You have a role in that. Those are the three ingredients. I want to speak about that. Okay? Good? Let's take the first one. The Klal Yisrael is a very tricky ingredient. It's perhaps the most tricky one. We'll speak about that first. We'll address it later on again. But the Klal Yisrael is the first ingredient. The first thing you have to the Klal Yisrael is, when you understand, there's more going on in your life than your old backyard. It's not because you're altruistic. It's because there are more important things in reality than your own cheshbon. It's a concept. You have to have the concept. I tell you the story. It's a personal story. I think the story illustrates that very nicely. That's right. A personal story. I tell you that when my mother passed away, and then my father a few years later, and there was something to inherit. What shall I do? My father had on the wall, and you know what that means? Braque, Picasso, Chagall. You heard about these? Mm-hmm. So my father had on the wall original lithographies from Klee, Braque, Chagall, Picasso. That's good, it's schlecht, you know. Mm-hmm. We even once in our lifetime, we had two original drawings from Klee. Two of them. You know? So someone betrayed my father, so he had to sell them. But it was two very nice. Klee was a good, he knew how to make a picture, you know. So there was something inherent. We had 3,000 LPs, you know, or more old ones, the Haydn Society after the Second World War. My father was a collector since the Second World War. So we had a big, huge collection of that, you know. So that was something to inherit. My father had a huge collection of art books, you know, which every single art book is worth money, and he had money too. So he wasn't a big millionaire, but there was money to inherit. We were six children. So now my father passed away, we're sitting Shiva. After the Shiva, now you have to think about the heritage, you know, the inheriting the thing. So now normally you quarrel, that's right. I want it, and you want it. How long did you quarrel? Six children. Coming from a secular home, that's very essential. Secular home. My parents were not from. Coming from a secular home, six children. How long did you quarrel? You know how long? Null. Not 1 second. There was not one quarrel in the Mishpocha about anything. Gurnisht. Klum. I was surprised always why that happened, you know? Normally, when you have, I know people who say inherit much less than we inherited, and they quarrel for two generations. You know, the elder, when you're turning into an elder Zayde, then your great grandchildren can have everyone who gets a check of 500 English pounds, because that's what is left for everyone after three generations. You know, and after all the lawyers. You know, there was no lawyer, there was nothing. It was just, we split up, you know, you take this, I take that, well, that's it. Why? I asked my brother, why did that happen? Why weren't we just jumping at the gurgle from one to the other? That's what you do normally. So my brother told me something very intelligent. He said, by us at home, there was a heritage that there is something more important going on than yourself. There is something more important. You couldn't jump at the thing. It was heritage wise. That's what I told you beforehand. There was certain heritage by me at home that you don't do. You simply don't jump at the thing and it's for me. No, you don't do that. It's not because you're altruistic. I very much know what I am worth, and I very much know what I want. No, but I couldn't quarrel about a thing, and I'd say, I need that, and you can't have it. That wouldn't go over the lips of any one of the six children. You can't do that. Because there is something more than your own backyard. That is the beginning of the Klal Yisrael. the beginning of your relationship or relating to the Klal Yisrael is not that you have a big concept in mind, which means the Jewish nation, beginning from Avraham Avinu and ending by Moshiach Tzidkenu, and that's the whole thing. That's true. That's true. We'll speak about that. But the beginning point is not this. The beginning point is that you are aware that you, yourself, is not the whole picture. It's not. There is something beyond you which is more important than you. More important than your personality. When you don't get that, you will never have any shaykhs to any redemption. Because even the future redemption which we wait for, you know, we wait for that Moshiach should come. Then everyone thinks Moshiach should come, then magically my loans will be paid. You know, it depends where you are suffering. When you have a lot of loans to pay, then you think Moshiach should come, my loans will be paid. Yeah. Or you think Moshiach should come and then other painful events should be solved. You know, when Moshiach will come, we all will just dig a hole somewhere where it's very safe. And we'll have a big stone in front of that cave. We'll all enter that cave, close the stone, and try to hide behind. Because it's such a shame what will happen then. We'll be so ashamed on our way of life. And we'll be so disastrous matzev when we see what is the truth and how we were living, that we just want to escape from that. That will be Moshiach. That's what Novi says. Yeshaya says, when Moshiach will come, you will hide b'nikike asloim. That's what he says. You'll hide behind big stones because of your shame. Yeah. So Moshiach won't be this gewaldig and I will have all my problems solved. It's not like this. So why are you waiting for that? Why are you waiting for that? Why are we waiting for some redemption? I'm fine, I will go on with that, you know. I will be a little bit a rabbi. You think I'm a rabbi, it's a big mistake, but that's what you think. And then I feel great, and I feel good, and then I have my 120 years, and the people make this false covet which I have, and I have an offer from that. Very nice. Why do I have to have the truth told to everyone, you know? You have a relationship to that only when you understand there's something more going on than your own life. That's a concept. It's not only a question of your midas. It's not, you don't have to be about chesed only. It has to be something which you feel, there's something more than myself. Something more and very important going on in the world than only my own cheshbonos. Today, people are nearly alien to that. That's a very important thing you have to instill in yourself before you begin the Haggadah, and you have to instill also afterwards through the Haggadah within your children, that they understand there's something bigger going on than myself. There's something which I can't be my own little backyard. It can't be. There has to be something more. That's the beginning of the Klal Yisrael. That's not the end. The Klal Yisrael is much more. So the Klal Yisrael is much more than that, much more than only that. It's more than me, but we'll speak about that when we read the Haggadah. The Klal Yisrael is much more. The Klal Yisrael is a place for the reality of the Boreh Olam to reveal itself. The Klal Yisrael is one entirety which it spans from Avraham Avinu till the end of the day. Klal Yisrael is created in a very miraculous way. We'll speak about that. Haggadah speaks about that. But first of all, you have to understand, Klal Yisrael is a reality for me. And it can be a reality for me only when I accept that there is something more than my own backyard. There's something more. Well, I think that everyone over here agrees that in today's society, which we are so into our own personality and in our own personal achievements, to see that there is something more important than me and my own achievement is a big step forwards. That's a difficult thing. But without that, you don't have any story going on. You can't have a story of redemption. You can't have a story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the Klal Yisrael was the one which went out. No personality, not one person as a old person. You went out because there is something bigger going on.
much bigger than you are yourself.
Yeah. I think it's very productive, what I'm saying, worth pointing out that even in a very firm way, even for someone who's involved in Avodas Hashem, it can be done in that very personal, almost self-centered sense.
Of course.
But I think people, that's not so obvious, and maybe that's...
People don't see that. Now, that's a very obvious thing. No, you ask. I give you only a example. It's that has to do with the third point, but I give you an example. You go through all the Haredi settlements in all over the world. I was in Jerusalem, in Bnei Brak. That's very Haredi. I was in New York. I was in Los Angeles. I'm here in South Africa. I go through all of the Haredi settlements in the world and ask people, why do you have a free will? Why did the Bible give you free will? That the Arachim seminar, we'll speak about that, you know. But now let's put on another tie and another shirt, that Arachim seminar now. Why do you have a free will? So all of the people will tell you, in order that I should be able to earn my own schar v'onesh, my own schar. That's why you have a free will. Wrong. 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 It's wrong. That's only a part, and it's a minor part of the reason. The Nefesh HaChaim doesn't say like this, and the Das Turis doesn't say like this, Ramchal. They say, you have the free will because you can have an impact in the world.
Actually, the part in the Mesillas Yesharim where he talks about, when you're talking about Zahirus, he says over there that what can encourage a person to grow in the Shlema Das people,
that's the same as that. But I speak now about how the Nefesh HaChaim and how the Das Tunis speak about why do you have prayer. You know why? Because you make a difference in the world. That's it. You make a difference beyond your own personality. You are the only one. Even an elephant makes no difference. Why not? Because the elephant is guided from Hashem, you know. When he tramples somewhere, that stems straight from Hashem. But you have a free will that you are on your own. You have your own decision. You know, you can't decide what you want. You know that? But you can decide what you want, and through that decision, you influence a reality which is beyond your own personality. That's why you have a free will. People don't know that. No. No. Okay, that's Hashkofe. The deep things. The Rav Nefesh HaChaim says that as the basic principle. Al-Kain, that's why he has a prira, because he has an influence in a reality beyond him. And the Asura says, you have a prira because you have an influence in a reality beyond you. Yeah?
This influence beyond, in reality beyond oneself, can that be, is that in line with the concept of Lishmo?
Okay.
I understand.
So that could be, but I can't think so quickly. You know, you're taking two big things. Is relativity theory consistent with quantum theory? That's people, they break their heads till today, you know? So there's two deep things. Free will and lishmo, that's two deep things. I don't know. It could be. But you are having an impact beyond your own person. Your actions are important beyond your own backyard. You know that? No. My actions are only important for me. Then you miss the boat. You don't know what Klal Yisrael means. You know that you are part of a bigger picture, part of a Klal Yisrael, which a Klal Yisrael is there in order that the world should come to a destination. You don't see that. You see, you are there in order that I should have a big uga in Olam Habo. But not only a big uga, and a big cherry on the top, you know, the real big one, never-ending cherry. And I can eat that forever. That's why I do my work. You don't work for your own backyard. You work for beyond you. That's the beginning of our belief. There we begin the story. We are created for a thing which is beyond ourselves. The beyond ourselves, that's the Klal Yisrael. We are there in order, that is a very intrinsic thing. For example, when I speak with Barabatim, so I don't want that you should take it in an asconistic way.
that you should think, aha, I have to do something, and then I have to go, and perhaps I have to, you know, try to make askonis. You know what askonis means? Askonis means asken.
Yeah,
being there and doing some big new
people,
what? Communal work. Yeah. Doing communal work. I don't want to. No, it's not the communal work. You have to understand, it's a very personal thing. That you are there for others. You know, every one of you has a life story. You know, I have a life story. I told a little bit my life story in the car, you know. I have a life story. And my life story pushed me to the club. I have a life story. I don't tell you know exactly what I told in the car because I was by the age of 16. At my age of 16, on a trip to Norway. You know what the Norway is? There, the sun doesn't set. You know, in the summer, you go to Norway, you can read the newspapers 12 o'clock by night, like this. I was in Narvik. Narvik is the place where the king of Norway fled. He went out of Narvik. That's the most northern port, you know. I went to Narvik. I was a crazy guy, you know. 16 years old, went to Narvik in a tent. But going to Narvik in a tent, I was together with someone in the tent, which became manic. To be with a maniac in a tent for 3 weeks, this is not a pleasant experience, believe me, you know. That means day and night playing guitar, not good, you know, but and screaming and going to the other people on the campus and saying, he looked at me, and you break the other's antenna and you scream at the one which conductor which comes with on the train because he has blue eyes, you know, and it's crazy. You are in a crazy, you are in a whirlwind. You don't know where that takes you, and you're 16 year old, and you are together with that guy stuck. You can't escape. 3 weeks with a maniac in one place, you know? So that is a thing which is not so pleasant. So what could you do? You could put on that thing, you could put sand, you know, and cover it. And they say, oh, you bury it. It's my life's... That was a life experience. It was not so pleasant, you know? Boy, I went through it, you know? And let's forget about that. And now let's cover the wounds. And no, I didn't do that. I was young, but I didn't do that. That was the first time I understood. This is there in order to help other people. I experienced that because I have to help others in such area. I didn't make communal work. I didn't put up a hatzole. I didn't try to find cures for maniac people. But I understood there are other people which need me. And other people really need me. Once other people are in such distress, and perhaps I can help. That was, I remember, age of 16. First time I thought, perhaps I have to help other people with my skills.
What's the connection?
Because I had to help this other person.
But you couldn't.
As far as I could, I could. And there was, throughout the years, I was stayed connected to that person and I tried to help him, you know? So that was the first time I saw another person is for real and he really needs help. I always thought, people need help. That's like a charity, you know? Okay. Five shekel. Shalom. You can't wake like this because that guy is in distress still, you know. You have to stay connected to him. It was the first time I experienced that in my life. And that pushed me to communal, not to communal work, to be connected beyond myself. You have that too. You have your own life history. Your own life history is not only your own backyard. You went through your life because other people need your life. You know that? No. You don't know. You don't believe. I'm not such an intelligent person. I'm not such a big man, you know. No, you are a very important person because your creation is there for others. You are not only for yourself. That's what Klaisol means. You are created for others. And you see, what we do in the business world, we are turning that back to ourselves. We are created for others in order to make business. I created for others in order to make an income. You know, that's like a distortion. No, you are created, that has a little bit to do with the Lishmo. You are created for others because they're for others. No, I'm there for others. I don't have to lose money because of that. I don't have to lose my temper because of that. But I'm there for others. There are other people which are important. And I am so important and big that I can be a part of this bigger picture. Yeah? I am not there only for myself. That enables you afterwards to experience, you know what, when Hashem comes, I just run after Him. Because I'm not for myself. I want to be a part of this bigger picture. It's me. It's me. I am there. It's not, I am here, and there is the redemption. No, I am there. I am part of this bigger picture. I am part of that. And then you run. That enables you to run after the Geula, you know? Otherwise you won't. You'll say, no, I'm by myself. I want to be myself. There are people, this is, afterwards we speak about the second ingredient, no? But I think it's a basic ingredient. There are people, also in this room, I know a little bit of people over here, there are people in this room too, which I think you have to be extremely intelligent to be there for other people. It's false. This is, I cry, because intelligence once in a while takes away from that being for others. Because intelligence makes you, the other one is also only part of my understanding. For example, speak about myself. So the Bei Olam gave me this, I don't know whether it's a broch or it's a klola, I never know that. But Bei Olam made that perhaps I have a possibility to think the way other people don't have the possibility. That's what shall I do. I'm a crazy man. But that's what I am. But this craziness is very dangerous. Because I have to think, when I think about you, I have to think that you are bigger than me. And my understanding is not covering the whole thing. Then I am relating to someone out of me. And it's a big temptation when you have a good insight in people that you think, you know what, I know him. I knew a person which he was such a tremendous Balkishon that when he was sitting in this room, for example, there was only one person in that room. Him and the understanding of you and you and you and you, but it was only him. You were not existent. Because you were only existent in as far as I understand you. Now I have to come over that. You are there beyond me. You are there a different person. A person which is not known. I know that all of you, people come to me and they ask me, what do you say about me? And they think I have a Röntgen over here, you know, an X-ray, which I can't see through the people and I make like this, you know. And then I see through. I never see through. I always know that you are bigger than anything I dream in my life. Any dream in my life will not reach your greatness. I can't. The Derech Hashem says that. I don't speak out of my own feeling. It's the truth. You will never be able to reach the depths of you because you are part of that big Klal Yisrael. Your source is beyond my understanding. Klal Yisrael is beyond my personality. You are part of that. You are beyond that. I can't understand you. It's always like this. It's a very healthy thing. So you don't, the intelligence, once in a while, is an obstacle in that relating. I know people which are very simple people, but they really care about others. They really care and thinking about other people. I know people which are extremely intelligent, and the only thing which exists is their intelligence, and the other people which feed. It's much more interesting when there are other people which are also on the stage, you know. You're not only the only guy there, so there are other people which feed that recognition. That's very bad, you know. No, Klal Yisrael is really beyond you. So you don't have to be the most intelligent person to relate to that. You can be a very simple person. You can be a very, but it is a profoundness within you that you say, I am there for something beyond me. And my life is there for something beyond me. Yeah? I know that people don't take their life history for real and for important, but you lose out. Because your own life history, the parts in your own life history which are needed for you, for your children, for others, for your neighbors, you need that. It's a part of a bigger thing. I mean, personally, that's not so difficult because I come from a secular background. the way I look like it, it's the appearance, like it's very rabbinic, you know. So that is not so difficult for me that the boy that I see that the boy took a like when you have a fish, you know, he took a thing in here and he slapped me through against the stream, you know, slapped me through out of nowhere. When David HaMelech said that he stems from behind the tzon, you know what the tzon is? Behind the sheep. What is behind the sheep? What is there? You know what? So David HaMelech says, I'm coming from there. He said, you took me from behind the sheep. From behind the sheep doesn't mean he was this shepherd which went behind the sheep. Behind the sheep means the glory, you know, he comes from there, you know. And you see David HaMelech, he made like this. It was a gingy, you know, and he had a thing in his head, he has a hole in his head, you know that? He was born with a because the cat of Naaman had to fit. Just imagine, you have a child. You are gingy. So you have a child which is born with a head like this. Chuck, has a hole in his head over here. You would cry. And then he's a Suffolk mamzer, you know. You don't know whether it's your child or not. You know, he just thinks, his stomach is such a... He's a Gornish, you know. He's like... And when Shmuel asked for the son of Yishai, he didn't bring him, you know. He said, yeah, I have seven sons. And then he said, I have seven children, but no one is the one. Do you have another one? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, it's an ice wolf, you know. He said, no, I have one. Perhaps, you know, I don't know, we really know. Okay, bring him over. And then he came, this came and said, that's it, that's the guy, you know. He came from a stinky camp. So for me, it's not a big thing, you know. I come from there, like this, you know. So by me to see that my life history is more important than my backyard, I understand that. But there are people which cover that up. I could also cover it up and say, you know, you know, I was young, oh Hashem, you know. But you see, man, I understood well, you know. Crazy man, you know. Idiot. You don't see that your life history is beyond you? It's orchestrated? It's there not for you? That's the Shaykh Zul Klavisov, you know? And when you go and have a Shaykh Zul Klavisov with your own history, with your own life, then you can't really get out of Egypt. What do you want? You want to get out of Egypt only that your stake should be better, you know? What leads there? No, we go out of Egypt because there is a big purpose, there's something more than my own life going on in my reality first. Good? Fine. Second, the point is that we were in Egypt, and that's a real theoretical point. We were in Egypt, we were caught in a place where you can't get out. It's not Chayef. You have to understand, it's impossible to get out there. That's a very basic thing in the Haggadah, that you can't get out of that place. It's not Chayef. The uppermost, we spoke about that when we spoke, I spoke about Tefillah, or I wrote that in the book of Tefillah. So the uppermost, the peak of that when you were standing by the Red Sea, you know, and by the Yam Suf, you know, you're standing there, and there you were caught. You couldn't escape anywhere, not up, not down, not right, not left, not front, not back, nowhere. You were caught. The whole Yetzias Mitzrayim, the whole getting out of Egypt is that you are caught. Nice life history. You are caught. You are caught in a place which you can't develop anymore. Nice life. Okay, I'm there for a bigger purpose. But there is no bigger purpose in sight. What do you want from me? That is the pain we are in. Let's say I understand the Jewish nation. But this Jewish nation is bound like this. We are bound to a world that this world doesn't let this potential come out. Of the Jewish nation. Doesn't let it out. I am bound.
So, Rob, are you talking back then or now?
Both. We are now bound. You want to see how we are bound? You were asked tonight there, that's right?
Yeah.
So you heard it. I want to give you this silly illustration. I could be get much worse, and I don't want to discourage you. The silly illustration was the Vayakel Pkudi. It's a very silly illustration. Vayakel Pkudi is a long parsha, you know. You're standing in shul and you're reading the parsha, and it was flat out boring. No substantial information coming over altogether, you know, because every substantial information was already said in Parshas Truma and the Tzaveh. And Vayakel Pkudi, no Rashi there either. Even Rashi wasn't able to extract so much. You know, it's just a text above text, and it was flat out boring. Let's be true, you know. And the Beurah Rebbe says it's the most exciting part of Shmois. You know, that's why Chazal is always four or five times. The Beurah Rebbe says four or five times. You know, it's the most exciting part for the Beurah Rebbe.
Sorry, the last point, that's 4 or 5 times?
You go over the Mishkan, once how they made it, and how they gave it, and how they did it, and how they were building it up, you know. You get the same thing. And then, what do you want? You have a Mishkan and don't build it up, for sure. No, you have to say, Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe, Kasher Tziv Hashem Es Moshe. Versteitzach, what do you want? They should leave it in the garage, you know. For sure, take it out. No. Psukim, about Psukim, and it was boring for you, and you were not exactly sure where to make the Shlishi and the Revi. It was a boring thing, you know. For the Beroyle, was the most exciting thing. Nice Klalisol we are, that's right. Nice Jewish nation. Did you once think that when someone on the time of the Beis Hamikdash would see us, what would he think? He would look at us and say, are you Jewish? Yeah, I'm Jewish. Are you a Jewish? So do you know a Novi? No. Nevuah? No. I don't know a Novi. What? You don't know a Novi? No. So, but the Ruach HaKodesh, you had once, no? Ruach HaKodesh, no. So do you know someone in your country has Ruach HaKodesh? No. Do you know someone in the world which has Ruach HaKodesh? Really, not the way they say Reb Chaim Kanevsky has Ruach HaKodesh. No, really, Ruach HaKodesh is the way the Torah says. Do you know someone who has Ruach HaKodesh? No, I don't. Are you Jewish? He would ask. He would ask us, are you Jewish? I think you are Amon Moyev, you know? You're not Jewish. That's not the Jewish nation. You don't have active contact with the Beis Hamikdash? Do you have that? No. Ruach HaKodesh? No. Nevuah? No. Nothing. So what do you have? Where are you? That's a Jewish nation. That's what he would ask. Someone from the Beis Hamikdash, at the time of the Nevi'im, he would ask this. And you look at us and say, no, those are suspected Goyim, you know. That's not a Jewish nation. And we, you know, nice Jewish nation we are. But we are. But we are bunked like this. Like this. In a world which takes us away from the Beis Hamikdash enormously. We can't get out of that, you know. Mitzrayim was a paradigm for that. We are taken in that Mitzrayim. We couldn't get out. And we looked like them. We're so strongly involved. We looked like them. It's exactly the way it happens now. We looked like them, you know. Okay, even though it's okay, we already now have Torah mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem. But there are people which look exactly like them, you know. Exactly the same thing. Same sort of thinking, same sort of preferences, everything the same, you know. Jewish nation, huh? Nice. Caught. Grip. You can't get out. And there you have a belief that we are so important that Hashem will enter the picture and take us out of that blotter. Huh? Of that. In our blood, you say it in Netherlands. Of this blotter, you know. How do you say it in Afrikaans? I don't know. Spit elf. Spits blotter, you know. It's a blotter, you know. How do you call that? Dirt. We are in the dirt till here, you know. We are dirt till here. We are dirt everywhere. We are caught like in Mitzrayim today. In Mitzrayim, we're also caught in that, you know. Caught in a concentration camp 80 years. Couldn't get out. There was no imagination getting out. but we got out. Why? Because Hashem will enter the picture for these people. When we are aware that we are Klal Yisrael, and we keep that alive, Hashem will enter the picture. He will do that. The way he entered there, he'll come and take us out by your ears, or by your payas, or by your beard, or by your nose. He'll take you out. You'll get out of that. Because you are Jewish. You are part of the Jewish nation. So this is the coming together of those two parts of the story. But when you know that these two parts of the story, that Hashem entered the picture for us, he entered the picture, then you don't have it. But you don't know, when you don't know that we, us, is an essential part in this whole thing, then you don't have it either. So those are the two ingredients which we need to be aware. And we are not aware about that. We don't have the story. You can read the Haggadah from today till tomorrow, and we don't have the story. There will be no story. Because we don't have the background, the information which comes through that text. We don't have it. We only have the text alone. And then the text alone dissipates into certain Weltlach, you know. We'll speak about that. All of us know those Weltlach on the Leila Seder, you know. Those are Pesach, and there you have a thing, and there you have a thing, and there you have a thing. But there's no story going on. Because when you don't have that, that is the message behind the thing which has to come through. The story will not come, will not go. Yeah? But Hashem will enter the picture. So now, this is difficult for us to understand. We will speak about that when we read our Haggadah. It's difficult to understand what does that mean, Hashem enters the picture. Because that is something very aloof. When he enters the picture, that's scary. This is a whole mahalach. We will speak about that. But he enters the picture. He will enter the picture. And now, the third one, you have still a little bit of time, that's right. Again, now, look, again, I want to tell you, please tell me that. I can be a bulldozer. You know what a bulldozer is? I was thrown out of places because I'm a bulldozer. I can make people flat, you know. I come with the whole energy, and then, vroom, I go over you and you stay like this, you know. I don't want that to happen. Okay? I know that when I speak about these things and I'm excited because I tried to live that story a long time, you know. I'm excited about that. So it could be you feel Leuchter overpowers us. Please tell me that. But I try to give over the best I can. Seder? So you will say stop or halt, you know, we have to have a book by better, you know. Okay? And you are also in charge. But there's a third thing. Yeah, was it?
So far it sounds like the kahal is everything and the individual is nothing.
It's not really nothing, because the individual is something as a part of the cloud. You say it in the Mishnah. Im ein ani li mili, you heard about that Mishnah. Im ein ani li mili, when I'm not doing my own task, no one will do that task. Ukesha ani le'atzmi, but when with all of my tasks, I only stay for myself, ma'oni, I didn't reach my destination. If I am only la'atzmi, I'm only for myself, then what is that worth? Not worth anything, because I didn't reach really my depth.
So why can't I be for myself and for the club?
Because the depth of you yourself is that you are connected to the club. It's your greatness that you are connected to the club. That's the depth.
The person is going through his own individual mitraim, so how must he relate to it?
We will speak about that. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is about Egypt, not about your own personal thing.
So that must be how the person's got a matter of he's got his Mitzrayim. How does he deal with it?
So that is a different thing. He deals with the Munah, and perhaps he gets out of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, not part of that.
Nothing to do.
It is not the point of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim speaks about Egypt. You have to revive that you were caught in a concentration camp. Couldn't get out. And then that creates the way of Emunah. And when you have a way of Emunah, the way the Ramban says, then you can take your own personal life challenges and go on that way too. But you have to create the way it says in the trailer. You can't create the way only from your own existential problem. That will be the wrong way, because that's what it says. It's a part of Torah. The Torah tells you the way. So we want to revive the way the Torah tells us. And then, or your personal work is that you yourself also go on that way. So pray that that will be after that, yeah?
To make it real for ourselves, for our children, young children, the fact that we couldn't get out and we're stuck, besides telling them that and saying it was a concentration camp, I mean, what are practical ways or sources to repair for the sailor as much as possible to make
true
it
repair.
This concept of giving across to the children how stuck we really were. It's easy to say to the children we're stuck, we couldn't get out, we couldn't go this way, we couldn't go that way. But how do we emphasize and stress to them how stuck in court we really were? Now, to make it as simple, I'm going to do a little bit later, we'll go through the Haggadah.
The Haggadah will speak about that, and then we'll speak about this, how to make that. Yeah, what was he?
What comes first, the story or the Emunah?
First, the story creates, will revive or creates the Emunah. That's what the Raman says. The stories of the Torah are guiding us on the way from Emunah. So the story comes.
So the story speaks of the cloud. The lesson is learned from the cloud. You learn the way through the stories in the cloud, and then you relate it to your.
That's right. That's what I wanted to say. Tell him, because you have to. The Torah as a teacher. That's the tricky thing of this gathering together. That was I was afraid, and I tried to do my best that it should be alive, because I wanted to bring over a Torah concept. Which is a priori a Torah concept. It's not that we speak only about our own lives, because we have ones to make to get up again in 7. Okay, good. Let's go back then. The third is that to your amazement, and we'll speak about that. To your amazement, Hashem gave you a task in that. That's why it's called Pesach. You know what Pesach? Pesach means. It's called a Passover, that's right? And it's a very awkward way to say it. The Berurim passed over our home. What is it, Passover? You say, it's a Chag HaGeule, Vakasha. It's a Chag from Gilu Yishchine, Vakasha. But you pass over, you say it's a negative thing, you know, passed over. That's the whole thing you can say about the Pesach, about Pesach, he passed over my home. Where does the Berurim come from? By the Makas Preures, the Borei Olam entered the picture. That was the moment he entered the picture. Where does it come from? Where do you think? Where from? From the west, from the east, from the north, from the south, from where? He comes from above. The Borei Olam comes from above. You know how he comes? He comes like this. Punch! And it's like a cucaracha. You know, punch! And you have no space. Punch! That's the way he made he were punishing the Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim. He went into Mitzrayim, back, 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 and every single prophet died. Because he came from above. They were suffocated, like, back, back, back. And by us, he came like this. And he left us a space. That's the Pesach. He went over our home, doesn't mean that he left us out. He came, but he left us a space. We were in danger. But because we made the dam Pesach and the dam Milo, and you put the dam Pesach on the door, then he said, I'm coming to you, but you know what? I'm coming to you in this way. I don't come to you in that way. But we were in danger, because when he comes, it could be, he comes in that way, he doesn't leave you space. You are squashed. That could be. But we were not. Because you made the dam Pesach and the dam Milo. That means we are having a space in this revelation of the Borei Olam. That's what Pesach is about. That's the end point. We have a space in it. We are taking a place. It's not something which nullifies us. But a priori, it nullifies us. Where are we? But you have something to say about the Borei Olam. You have something to say. It's your say. Your actions make a difference. You really think... Are you grandiose? Are you megalomaniac? Do you really think your actions make any difference to the Borei Olam? That is the eternal question all the prior people have on us. Our actions make really difference to Hashem. He merely cares whether you eat a pore, a para, which is geschochten, rof simen or chetzi simen. Do you really think the Borei Olam cares? The Borei Olam cares about big concepts. about big things, you know. He thinks about philosophy and the end of the world and all these things. But you do think he cares about you carrying some handkerchief in Ocean Parkway on Shabbos, you know? And then you will be thrown off the skila, you know, you get for that, for a handkerchief on Ocean Parkway. Tahili atameshuga. He really cares about that. That is the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael and the Borei Olam together. There you are linked. Because I'm Jewish. Only because I'm Jewish. My actions make such a difference to the revelation of Hashem. That is the uniqueness of the Jewish nation. We don't get it. We don't get it. We are Jewish. That is the most precious thing. Because that gives us the opportunity that we make a difference in the eyes of Hashem. Our actions make a difference there because we are Jewish. That is the uniqueness of the Jewish nation. The only nation in the world which has exact actions which are religious are the Jewish nations. The halacha, you know, this nasty business we all hate, you know. The halacha, this thing that you have to do whatever you have to do and you have no choice. The Jewish nation is the only nation under the sun which has that. The Arabs have also something like this, but it's much more thick, you know. A little bit azay. But they have not. They don't have a Shulchan Aruch of four halakim which drive you crazy, you know. And they have a Rambam of 12 halakim, of 14 halakim, which is a monumental work, you know. And then they come and say, yeah, you're Haredi people, you are hair splitting with your halacha. That everyone has this problem. But the solution of the problem is the Leila Seder. Because the Borei Olam tells us, your actions make a difference for me. So who knows, you know? Who knows what that means? My actions, not my thoughts, not my philosophy, not my intelligence, my actions, putting the dumb there. And deal. And deal. That's the thing I have to do. Enough, give me a put it down there. I put it down here. No, you have to put it there. Mashkev and Shea Mezuzas. That's what you have to do. And when you'll do that, the Borei Olam will come like this and say, your action, that is what I want. And you are active in that revelation. Yeah, what is?
What's the right for this? Is this just... This is the Torah, the fact that there's so many different details. Or
is
there any specific
raya
that actually makes so much difference
to Hashem? Because
that's
what
he
said in
Torah. Just the whole Torah is telling us that.
That's right. That's why most of the mitzvahs are Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. You always say, but Rosh Hashanah. You say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. What has to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah, the question of beginning of the year. But you went out of Egypt, that's Pesach, that's Shavuos, that's Sukkot. I understand. Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because you went out of Egypt, that's why it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes because Rosh Hashanah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yom Kippur comes because of a very not nice incident that we were taking the golden calf and we were dancing around it or whatever we did there. So, and that's why Yom Kippur comes and you say, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. What's Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim? When you say Kiddush on Yom Kippur, whenever you say it, the halacha is passing, you don't say it. But whenever you would say it, you would also say Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, for sure. What you say is just beside to do with Yom Kippur, right? Because everything is this Yetzias Mitzrayim. Every Yom Tov and every Shabbos and everything is there because your actions are meaningful to the Borei Olam. And that was created in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. When he told you, please, put the dam on the mashkif, Shem Jesus, and then I am coming like this. I leave your space. I don't squash you. I leave your space. In my coming, I leave your space. That's the point. In my coming, I leave your space. It's not only I enter the picture. I enter the picture for you and I leave your space. Your actions are important. That's what Pesach is about. Those are the three things. You see? Okay, I think that gives the background for the story. After we done Mincha now, after Mincha, I think we eat something.
Yeah.
And after food, we will go and read the Haggadah a little bit together. Okay? Adkar.